Newer Fresh. We got a new script coming up. I'm excited about it. Ready to rock and roll.
All right, main thing is let me get your rotation sheets out for this Thursday, right?
Okay.
And 6-6 for Thursday. We're hoping 7-7, which is kind of a normal grading day. All depends on how we do on Thursday, obviously, with the new script. But we'll try to get six in, along with some white balancing and stuff like that. There you go. Don't forget your loved one tomorrow. Overrated holiday, absolutely.
On his birthday.
In fact, it just kind of goes by in our house. It's not even a big deal. However, for you guys, young love you need.
Yeah.
All right, study sheet number three coming your way, guys. So you can follow right along with the lecture today. All right, let's get started here, guys. Really what we're going to go over today is really some terms that you kind of know about, and then some other terms that we're going to kind of get into a little bit more, because it's really kind of segues into a new script for you as well, too, and some of the terms. But again, a lot of it is just really knowing the terminology, going into an internship, knowing the terminology, going to whatever production you're going to go into. There's going to be a lot more out there, obviously, but the main thing is just kind of have an understanding of what the stuff is. You may not understand it all, but at least have an understanding when some words are kind of, you know, thrown around, you know, in conversation amongst the professionals, so you kind of have an idea of what's going on. So one of the first terms we want to talk about, because we're going to finally incorporate this into our newscast, is the term B-roll. You heard me kind of mention it a couple times the first couple weeks. Boom. B-roll. As in boy, B-roll. And basically what B-roll is, it's video that goes along with the story. Whether it's news video, right, you have the story to it, and of course you have the video to go with it, which is the B-roll. Okay? Sports highlights. Right? The highlights of the video would be the B-roll. Right? So basically you have your photographers going out on location to shoot B-roll, raw footage of course, and then of course what's going to happen is we're going to write a script, and then we're going to edit the B-roll to the script. Alright? Now keep in mind, video open and video close is not considered B-roll. Right? It's video, but it doesn't go to an opener. It doesn't go to a news story. It doesn't go to any copy. Right? So that's what we're looking at as far as B-roll. And if you notice the news, pretty much every single story that you see on TV has video to it. So that means someone had to shoot it, okay? Someone had to edit it, and then someone had to write to a script. Okay? And off on a side note here, just a little bit, this is more of a editing camera tech kind of class type of deal here. But typically, if you're going to be a news reporter and a photographer, okay, you go out and shoot, let's say, news video of a traffic accident, okay, or construction, or whatever the case is. Typically, if you're going to shoot that raw footage B-roll, when you get back to the truck or back to the station or back to your laptop, wherever you're going to be doing this at, you typically write the story first. Okay? When you write the lead, the body, the disposition line, therefore, then the editor can say, okay, let me take a look at the script. Oh, okay, I see what you wrote here. Let me just try to mash up the best video I have to go with. So the script is written first. We edit the video with actions. Okay? Sports highlights, completely different story. Okay? Because if you got some piston highlights rolling down off the satellite feed, typically you're going to say, let me grab the raw footage. Let me edit my shots here first. Let me get my shots edited down so therefore I can see what four plays I got. And then the video pretty much writes the script. So at that point, the video is edited first, then you write to it. But typically news is write first, edit second. Sports, typically, when it's play-by-play, edit first, and then write to it afterwards. Assuming you have time for that.
I have a question I meant to ask you when we watched that Miami thing. Remember how the guy called, the guy from the other station asked him if they could swap footage? Does that happen often with news stations?
It is one of those situations. It's not the most common thing in the world, but it's not uncommon either. Okay. I mean, it doesn't happen every day. It doesn't even happen every week or month. But you have to understand that if you're a general manager or news director, that guy was a news director. Mm-hmm. You're a news director for Channel 1, he's a news director for Channel 2, he's a news director for Channel 3. For the most part, you all know each other. Even though you're competitors,
right.
You're trying to beat each other in standings and ratings, so to speak. But you all know each other. It's the same concept. We always say that networking is a huge, huge deal because, again, it's a situation where I work for Channel 2, Mark Frankhouse works for Channel 4. He's a reporter over there, too, or a photographer. We're both photographers. But you know what? We're going to go to a story. Guess what? We're probably going to see him often. You're going to see the people that you're in competition with a lot during the week as news reporters and photographers, those who go out in the field. So therefore, even though we're competitors, we're still networking. You know, because Mark, you don't own the station that you work at. I don't own the station I work at. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I may be here for 20 years. I may be here for another 6 months. You know, Mark may be become a news director somewhere down the line in you know, Chicago. And at least I know Mark. Even though we're competitors, but he knows me, and I know him, and we're networking. So you always want to make sure you're networking with those people, you know, even though you're in competition with at the time. So always keep that in mind, because there's so many times. You're always going to be at the same source. A lot of times you're going to be at the same source. You want to make sure that you're, you know, you're always networking with people, and making sure that you have those business cards ready, ready to roll. Okay? All right, so B-roll. Any questions on the B-roll? Okay, we're going to talk about two of the four main stories in television. The first one we're going to talk about is the all-important boring reader. Reader. Okay? You've heard probably a definition from Mr. Palmateer. I'll give you one for news. It's basically a story where the anchor talks in front of the camera with no B-roll, kind of what you did for the first 2 weeks. Okay? 20, 30-second story, anchor talking in front of the camera, absolutely no B-roll, no video. Pretty boring. Let's call it a radio station. Okay. Except here we make a little more money. Just kidding. You can strike that. But yeah, that's pretty much what you're looking at. You have no B-roll to it. Now again, most stories that you see in television and video to it. It's even hard for us to even find an example of a reader. I have one. Right. I'm going to show you, but one thing you can do to spice it up is have a nice little OTS graphic. So therefore, you're not looking at the anchor, you know, for 20 to 30 seconds. You have something visual to look at while you're listening to the story. But usually, for the most part, if it has no video to it, does it really warrant being, you know, even if you have stock footage, okay, over the past weekend, Whitney Houston passed away, okay, kind of a shocker a little bit, right? But the point of the matter is, I mean, obviously she had issues, but it's still a little bit of a shocker. But the point of the matter is, it is a situation where we're going to have stock footage. We're going to have footage of her in concert or whatever the case is. So at least that's something that we can show people. But like I said, readers as far as lengthwise, and again, this isn't a writing class, but I want to make sure you guys are you know understanding this. Because this is kind of the camera tech, the editor, and the broadcast writing person coming out of me a little bit. Readers in television on air, typically 20 to 30 seconds in length. Okay? But it's the market size you're in that typically dictates the length of those stories. Okay? So if you're in Terre Haute, Indiana, Lima, Ohio, Alpena, Michigan, tiny little towns. Okay? If Joe's Deli, okay, little Joe's Deli or something tends to want to, you know, I don't know, have its hours, you know, they're going to expand their hours. They're going to be open till 6 o'clock now instead of 5. That may make the news in Terre Haute. Joe's Deli on the corner of Coy and Bleecker Street. They're going to be open for another hour. So, hey, I'm going to make the news there, okay? So, therefore, what we're saying is your reader may be 25 to 30 seconds because you have more time to devote to newsworthy stories. Not saying there's not newsworthy stuff going on there. There is, but you have a little more time. Now, if you go into a medium-sized market like a Toledo or a Lansing, a little different. Your readers are probably going to be more around 20 seconds. There's more stuff going on, okay? But keep in mind, obviously, you guys who are going to be interning potentially in Detroit, you got a top 11, 12 market. Your readers may not even hit 15 seconds. Okay? We tell you 20 to 30 because typically most of your jobs you're going to get are going to be entry level jobs. But don't be surprised if you go to the internship and next thing you know, you give them a nice 25 second reader and they just hack the hell out of that. We don't have time. We got too much to get to, and we have no video for this. We're going to hit 15 seconds. Watch the NBC Nightly News of Brian Williams. That's, you know, they got to cover the world in a half hour. So if there is a reader, which there may not ever be, but sometimes there is, you're probably going to have a 12 to 15 second reader because it just, you got to get the flow. But here's a quick little reader. It's basically just an anchor talking on camera with, you guessed it, no B-roll, all right? And it's hard to get B-roll of a guy, a chess player from Iceland.
Bobby Fischer has become synonymous with both genius and eccentricity. Yesterday, the former world chess champion, once dubbed the Mozart of chess, died at the age of 64. The teenage Fischer gained world attention as the only U.S.-born player to become world chess champion. Later, he renounced his U.S. citizenship, moving to Iceland in 2005.
Yeah. Iceland, by the way, you can grow bananas there. part of the year. Very short part of the year. Why I'm telling you this? I'll tell you why. Fourth grade? Pick a country, do a book report on it.
and I did high school. New York. But I was made fun of because the encyclopedia did say there's certain times of year you can actually grow bananas in high school. So I was ridiculed with that through high school. And now that the Earth is a fever with global warming, I mean, there's icebergs are melting and the penguins and polar bears are nowhere to live. You can really grow bananas in the 5 inches of the month. So keep that in mind if you ever grow some bananas. It's good potassium for you. It really is. All right, any questions on the readers? That's one of four different types of stories. We're only going to talk about two of the main types of stories today. Now, the second one, you have the readers. And the second one that we're going to incorporate this week is called the voiceover. That VO, voiceover. That, and, you heard the term in radio. It's a little different for us on the television side. A voiceover basically is a story where an anchor talks over V-roll. It's a voiceover, or a VO, where an anchor talks over the V-roll. Okay? All right, and that's what we're going to do for at least a couple stories for you guys. This particular script, we got one for, I think, our lead news story and our lead sports story. Okay? All right, so let me, again, show you a quick voiceover. You see it all the time in news, but I don't want to assume people watch the news, so I want to make sure you guys know what it looks like. Okay?
A vacant nursing home on camera. First on 7 this morning.
We got to roll it, then we got to take it. She talks
about Riverdale, Meadowbrook. The building has been sitting for many years now.
And she's given all the details. Facts.
No one was video just enhancing the story. And investigators are now looking to determine if the demolition process had anything to do with that
pipe. Right. So notice there again, you can look at this and say, and you got to understand this as directors too. The video is just basically supporting the story. Okay? It's enhancing it. Right? Sometimes we'll show action, sometimes we'll show emotion, but for the most part, it enhances the story. The copy is going to give you the facts and details and background information. So what we're saying is, when you're editing this, or even as a director, when you're going to say, roll VTR, take it, honestly, with news, if you roll it right where it says on the script, take VTR, great. If we're maybe a couple seconds off, or a line or two off, for the most part, most stories, we're okay with that. The reason is because you just saw the videos just kind of go along with it. Okay? Take a Detroit City Council meeting, okay, or a school board meeting. That's probably the most boring. Well, I would say this. Detroit City Council meetings are probably more entertaining than most places in the country. Usually city council meetings are pretty dull and boring. But for the most part, they are. They're pretty dull and boring. What you're going to see is just a bunch of people looking around who don't agree on anything. Right? And they're just kind of doing one of these. That's your meeting. Okay? It enhances the story, yeah, but the video, is that's all it's going to do. The copy will take care of the facts and the details and the background information. So keep that in mind as we kind of get to the, and I'll mention that again, as far as directing the show. Sports highlights, a different story. When the anchor's saying, let's head to the highlights, we want to roll it, check it, take it as quick as possible. Okay? Because that is a play-by-play. And the video goes right along with the copy, and the copy goes right along with the video. It goes hand in hand. Okay? We have more flexibility. Okay. Any questions on the voiceover? The video? Okay. A couple other terms we'll kind of throw your way here. And again, we don't see this very often. Once in a while we use it. Not really for us too much, but talking head. Not talking heads. That's a famous man of the 80s. David Byrne, talking heads. But basically what a talking head is, it's basically just a videotape showing a close-up of someone talking. That's all it is. It's video showing a close-up of someone talking. A lot of times you hear talking head, they'll call anchors talking heads. You just basically see them talking about it. But it's all it is just a video or some sort of piece of video of a close-up of someone talking. Whether it be Obama at a podium, okay? We don't have any more video of what he's talking about or whatever. It's just him at a podium, and that's a close-up of someone talking. That's all it is. Okay? That's all you really need to know about that. Same as it ever was. Alright, next one I got here is a tag. Okay? Tag. Right, that's number 5 on your study sheet, and I kind of made it simple for you here because this is a little bit difficult to understand, but once you see it in action, it kind of makes more sense. Okay? Now let's go back to Coach Palmateer. Okay? Broadcast writing class. The first thing in a story that you write is the
lead.
Then you have the body. Meat and potatoes. Okay. This right here is hors d'oeuvres. Okay?
This order is hors d'oeuvres. Okay, maybe a little chips and salsa. Okay, then you got the meat and potatoes. You got the good stuff. Then, of course, I like them all. But then you have the disposition line. Disposition lines, you know, maybe the hot brownie, or you got the hot little chocolate chip cooked just out of the oven with just drenched with cold ice cream and sprinkles, maybe a slab of peanut butter on the side, maybe some fudge, maybe even some magic shell. Okay? Remember magic shell? Good stuff. I believe they still sell that stuff. But so yeah, lead, body, disposition. Okay? Now what we're talking about here is a tag. The tag is the disposition line. It's always the disposition. Okay? But what makes it a tag is that the tag, the disposition line, is going to air differently than what the body did on the air. So for example, if, and you'll see an example here, if we you know, have an anchor on camera for the lead, we font in, we lose font, we rotate, we take BTR. All right? We took BTR and the anchor's voicing over the body. So the body part of this story, you're seeing it as a video. You hear the anchor, but they're voicing over. So the body is a voiceover, but then we end up running out of video, so what we need to do is go back to camera 3 and tag it, and the disposition line would be on camera. So therefore, it's a tag because the body part was shown as a VO. The tag disposition line part was an on-camera tag. Okay. What I showed you last Thursday, if you remember, it was the stroller recall deal, where the stroller recall was, you know, I showed you that at the end of class, where the stroller fell apart, and they had recalls on the stuff. Well, the reporter's talking over the body of this, that's a voiceover, but then they tagged it onto a full screen. They had two full screens in the tag. Okay. So let me show you this here. Again, this is your example of a tag. Don't be too creeped out. Good kid, just doesn't blink. He just doesn't blink.
The arrival of suspicious packages.
Blink, Brian. Jason, blink. All right, so today. Here's a lead.
The heart of Manhattan is slow to a grinding halt. Jason, fire officials investigated
the New York Post
terminal. With the country on terror,
here's
the FBI and other law enforcement officials are already on duty. The massive bus terminal located.
Now, we're not going to stay on this, so we're going to tag it on camera, so it's going to be looking different than what it did.
The city each day. The situation is currently under investigation. We'll have more details as they become available.
Okay. That's right. That's what the teleprompter does. Okay. He wasn't trying. It just happened. And a lot of people do that.
Burning holes right in your brain.
But so you understand that typically a tag is going to be an on-camera tag like this one was, or a lot of times it's going to be a full-screen tag. But for this particular week, for the next couple of weeks, we'll be doing this all quarter, really. We're going to do what we just saw here. We're going to have, take camera 1, mic you, font and lose font. The lead will be on camera. We roll tape and take VTR. That's going to be a voiceover, and then bam, we'll go right back to the camera on-camera tag. Okay? Now, the reason we don't have an on-camera tag is either A, we don't have enough video to support it, or B, a lot of times we just want to show something different on the air. And for you guys, it makes the directors and switchers a little more quicker. Okay? Any questions on the tag? If that makes a little more sense? Okay, a little drum roll there? Yeah. I don't know what the deal. I don't know what's in my coffee. So bring it after here. All right, let's go over a couple more different types of things that you need to know about. Oh, this one, I'm going to tell you right now. This one happens to be on a midterm, like number 11. You got to make sure you use the correct definition of it. Okay, this one's called kicker. Okay, anytime you hear the term kicker, that is always the last story of a newscast. Okay.
Can you give me number 6?
Number 6? It could be number 6.
Yeah.
Number 6. That's a kicker, right? It's always the last story of a newscast. Generally, it's upbeat, okay? Lighthearted type of thing. Mom and Dad's birthday party. This week, choppy. That stray dog is not a lucky dog, okay? So we're saying here, a kicker is always at the end of the newscast, okay? So keep that in mind, because a lot of times on midterm, so I get people complaining about this. Say, well, I told you so. What you don't want to have is, oh, I know what a kicker is. It's somewhere near the end of the news. No. It's always at the end of the newscast. So if you hear kicker, that means go right down to the end of the rundown. Okay? You're in charge of editing the kicker today. Okay? So it means, oh my God, the newscast is about to start. Oh my God. Oh, that's okay, because we don't need you till 11:30. Okay? It's generally lighthearted because with the wars, the murders, fires, the burning houses, cars flying off of bridges, You've got, Martians taking over the Earth. You got all this crap going on in the world. Okay. But at the end, hey, Mom and Dad celebrated their 115th birthday. Right. This dog that was lost
is now found.
Okay. That's kind of the stuff we're looking at. It's usually lighthearted, but it's always at the end. So again, on a midterm, if you say, oh yeah, I know what Kicker is. It's a lighthearted story. Usually at the end of the day. No, it's not usually at the end of the day. It's always at the end of the day. Okay. So we want to differentiate that. All right. So that's your kicker story. Now, the only time we really didn't have any kickers going on there, when something kind of devastating happens in the country, or something really, really sad happens in a community, or local news, 9/11, great example. No one was in a good mood probably for the next 5 to 7 days. There was really no kickers. And if you did have a kicker at the end of a newscast, it was typically something where there was a little bit, a glimmer of hope or something. You know, maybe for one family member or something like that. That's kind of what you're looking for. So until we kind of turn the tide on that one. But not a whole lot of happiness in that. All right, any questions on the kicker? Very, very sad. All right, let's get to the CG work. Let me call this up here. Whoops, wrong button. See, I had 3 days off. I don't know what button to hit. There we go. This right here, full screen. Okay. Let me give a quick definition of a full screen. Now we're talking, if you want to make a little footnote here, we're going to talk for the next two particular terms here for CG, for graphics people, okay? But this one right here is the full screen, and guys, I'm going to give you the definition. Don't blame me for this because honestly, I'm just the middleman. Okay, you paid for this education. It's a graphic that fills the entire screen. Why do we call it full screen? Let me tell you why. It's a graphic that fills the entire screen, okay? That is the definition of full screen, okay? You notice it's a full screen. Graphic that fills the entire screen. Typically, product recall stuff, just anything that, scoreboards for sports. A lot of times producers and writers and reporters, they'll decide whether they need a full screen in their news package or their story just to make it easier for the audience to visualize it and see it. And honestly, too, you don't have just colored backgrounds a lot of times. Sometimes you'll put some sort of whatever is pertaining to that story. Whether it's voting, where you can vote, what are the hours? You may see in the background, and maybe glazed over with the color, is kind of an old-fashioned ballot box with a hand putting a ballot. Or something. You may see that in the background, but then in the words, pretty much is in your forefront. Okay? So that's full screen. Now, again, keep in mind, watch really anything. You talk about an award show, you talk about a debate, you talk about newscast, whatever, a sporting event. Especially if it's live broadcast, and even taped, but we're talking live broadcast in this particular corner. Notice how many things are on the air that's written. Okay? So I'm saying graphics, quotes. I always say if you can write in this industry and write well and write fast, you got a job. So you really do. If you can type very well and have a pretty good understanding of software and what you're dealing with, and of course you can do it very quickly, you have an opportunity to do pretty good stuff in graphics. Because honestly, it's kind of negative. And we'll get to that here in just a bit. Because the lower third fonts are even more. You see more of these things. So, you talk about a lower third graphic, that's your next term, lower third graphic. And does anyone have any ideas, honestly, on why we would call this the lower third graphic? Any ideas? Yes, sir.
It takes up the bottom third.
The lower third, RJ, you are on your A game today, man. You're bringing it. You are bringing it. All right, good stuff. Yeah, it's the lower third part of the screen. And I'll give you a couple indications on when we would use this. Okay, obviously for name IDs. Okay, name IDs would obviously one of them. Okay. Now keep in mind, as I said before, typical newscast, you're not going to ID the anchor every single time you see them. Once for the first segment, then commercial break. Second segment. Watch it behind the music. Watch TLC behind the music. Spend an hour of your time. Watch and left back, okay? Any behind the music is usually good, even if I don't like the group. It's always interesting to see, when things turn sour and how they rebound, if they ever do, okay? Let's take, for example, Culture Club. All right, let's take Boy George, because everyone knows Boy George. So the first time we see Boy George, we ID Boy George. Okay? We don't see an ID for Boy George for the next probably, 7-8 minutes. We have a commercial break, we come back. Again, what do? We clock Boy George for the second segment. And we'll probably do that maybe for the third segment as well, too, because if people just tend to forget who Boy George is while they're watching the thing, or for people just tuning in, oh, well, that's Boy George on the side. So that's when you tend to do the lower third fonts. And keep in mind, reality check here as well, too, is keep in mind that, you know, if you're working for a station, your on-air talents already have their names in the CG. You don't have to type them in. Remember last week when I mentioned, we got an OTS for all the professional sports teams. We have OTS graphics for the mayor, the president, city council members, drinking and driving, just stuff that happens all the time. You know, whether it be fires or burglaries or the economy, whatever. We all have these graphics in here. All you have to do is look at your chart and say, oh, let's call it the name. Let's call it the OTS. Well, if we have 20 people as far as on our talent at our station, well, all we have to do is say, okay, Kim Smith. Well, Kim Smith, okay, Kim Smith, that's number 6. Call it Kim Smith. So really all your job is just to find it and put it up on your CG so then you can insert it to the switch. Okay? So the name IDs for your on-air talent is really not that big of a deal. It's got to call 21. However, where else do we use lower third fonts? Watch the news. Every single time, or just about every single time, we have a sound bite on the air. Radio, you call it an actuality. We call it a SOT, a sound on tape. Okay? That's basically someone who's being introduced. A man on the street, so to speak. A victim, a witness, a storm. Okay? So therefore, every single time you see that in one of the stories, we have to type that in. We have to call that up. And that's quite a bit of time. That's a lot of name IDs for your MOS. Okay? So that's another time we're going to use lower third fonts. It's, you're busy. You're very, very busy. Okay? Is that clock actually right up there? Well, it's in the ballpark. It's in the right time zone. It's down. I wasn't sure. It was health chart. Yeah. Make sure you guys also, too, for lower third fonts, you're looking at the location IDs. Just about every single time we put the B-roll to air, right, there's a location ID saying where it took place. You know, whether it's Denmark, whether it's Argentina, whether it's Detroit, Michigan, or if it's locally, maybe you'd give, the streets on where it took place in Detroit, Michigan. Even though we say that in story, but it's always good to visually see it on a lower third font, then you're going to see that. Okay? So that is a CG operator's opportunity that you need to make sure you obviously get that called up and ready to roll. Because that's about every single time. Okay? So that's a location font. Yeah, location font. Okay? And also, too, that kind of goes along with that, is a courtesy font. You have to give credit to where the story came from. Okay? So those are courtesy IDs or courtesy fonts as well. That basically, let's put it this way. If you're in Toledo, okay, the lovely city of Toledo, 80 degrees and sunny today off the ocean. Really, really nice day. If you're in Toledo and there's a big accident on I-75 right by the Michigan-Ohio border, okay, right by that Alexis Road area, okay. Now, if you're Channel 24 in Toledo, you're right there. You cruise over there with your rig. You got your camera. You're shooting stuff. Okay, you go back to the station. You edit it up and you write it up. Bam, put it on the air. All right, so we put the B-roll in the air. Well, guess what? Somewhere on the bottom left, the bottom part, the bottom third, it's going to say I-75 northbound, Michigan-Ohio border. There's your location font. They don't have to give a courtesy because they shot their own stuff. Right, so there's no courtesy. Now, same accident. Let's head all the way back up to Detroit. Now, we're all the way up to Detroit over here, and let's say we're an NBC affiliate. Okay, because NBC and ABC affiliates, we all work together. NBC in Detroit and NBC in Toledo there's no competition. Okay? So we're not on the same target. So now we're way up here in Detroit, we're thinking, man, that was a huge accident. We have a tanker spill, we had an explosion, we had all sorts of fun stuff, right? So now at this particular point, Detroit's like, there's no way we can get down there. However, we'd like to put it on the news, so let's call our friends, Channel 24 in Toledo, because we're both NBC, we're sister stations, so it's good. Let's call them up. Hey, Chuck. Hey, what's going on? Hey, how the wife and kids? Good. Okay, good. Hey, listen. You got that footage? You know, the footage of the accident? Oh, yeah. We got it. Could you give us the coordinates? Put that up on the satellite so we can, pull that down. Oh, no problem. Here it is. Boom, boom, boom. So now we're going to use the same video that 24 shot, except, obviously our video is I-75 North Bell, Michigan-Ohio border. Okay, we still got the location fine. But now we got a courtesy WNWO, Channel 24. We got to give credit because they're the ones who shot. If you watch SportsCenter or something, you see Yankee highlights, right? It will say, courtesy, yes. That's the Yankees Entertainment Station. It makes what it stands for. right? It'll say, you know, the Bronx, New York, or something. So you get your location fine, you get your courtesy fine. Because even if you're working for an NBC station, and you pull something out the satellite feed, which is a CBS affiliate somewhere, well, you still got to get credit. You can use it, but you got to get credit. Okay? Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind as we go. All right. Any questions so far? Yes, sir.
What about when a station or a TV channel puts their name on the lower screen? Is that a lower third
ground? No, actually, that's more of an icon. That's really from Mass Control and Switcher. Typically, it's Mass Control doing that. That's basically just so you know at all times who you're watching. That's pretty much it. Now, how this kind of pertains to you guys, take a look at it, and I want you guys to kind of open your mind here a little bit, because you may not have thought about this before, but every single time you have, let's say, school noise, okay, how many times, I mean, you see a ton of written stuff up here. You got the little crawls on the bottom of the screen. You got your little tickers up here. You got a little, maybe about half the screen's kind of filled up, and they're telling you the county and all the schools that are delayed. Someone's got to type that stuff in. Right? So that's basically, you're just getting fed numbers and information. All you're doing is type, 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 type. Okay? So that's busy. Okay? Election night. I mean, you know, a few years back, 3 to 4 years ago, if you were CG and you know you're getting all this information fed you, and all you're doing is typing stuff in, you know, 40% of the votes in, but type, 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 type. You probably didn't even know Obama was president until probably 5 a.m. or so, because you weren't able to look at it. You're just typing number, 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 number. You know what I mean? So when you look at it that way, it's like that is a lot of information. Watch sports. I mean, keep this in mind. You'll see this next week. I'll show you a little bit this next week. Every single time a basketball player takes a shot, dishes out an assist, turns the ball over, takes a free throw, statistics change, which means there are jobs for statisticians. You need someone just to take care of the stats. Okay. Every time a pitcher throws a ball, you see something on the ticker somewhere. It says 1-1 pitch, 1-2 pitch, 2-2, 3-2. Okay. One out, runner at first. I mean, you got all these little graphics. Someone's doing that. Someone needs to do that. So therefore, if you know, everyone's favorite Piston, Tayshaun Prince. Okay, let's say he gets hammered going to the hall. Okay. Next thing you know, camera operator, we got to be quick on the focus. Zooming all the way, focus, bam, get the shot. Boom, right here. Okay, so you got that going on. Now all of a sudden, fun in, boom, boom, 2 for 2 from the field, 1 for 2 from the line. He takes a free throw, stats change. You don't have to keep updating it every time until you need it, but what we're saying is stats change all the time. Every time a running back's handing the ball, every time a quarterback throws a pass, statistics change. So therefore, statistician to CG, just rip-roar type stuff in. Right. So, and I'll give you kind of a key insight here, too. Doing some work down in Toledo, I've heard this over headset, I'd say about 2-3 times over the course of the past 2 to 3 years. You know, you're working a baseball game, whatever, and I'm not a CG guy. I mean, I did it starting out, but that's not my job. More so for me, it's camera. So, you know, you're in center field camera, whatever the case is, commercial break, and then you hear the, you know, the ref talking to the truck. Say, so who's CG? Hey, Joe, are you here for CG tomorrow? You know, you're hearing everything that's going on. I say, oh, who's here? This is so frustrating. Not to knock your camera guys. You know, you guys are great. But honestly, it's a dime a dozen. I mean, we have a lot of people who are camera operators. You know, this particular company really only has a core group that are full-time. But like myself, what they'll do is they'll just use you for a game or two. You get paid X amount of dollars for every game that you do. Right. So you're kind of a freelance, part-time basis. You know, sometimes you need more work, sometimes you don't get a whole lot. Right. But what they're saying is, out of all these people that freelance for us, we've got like 55, 60 people, but we only have about 5 people that run graphics. So you go, man, graphics, cameras have done a dozen. I mean, if you're really good, you got a job. Man, graphics is just, it's tough to find. It's tough to find people who have, they know the software. Primarily, they're good at typing. If they're good at typing, they work well in your project. And because they're constantly doing something. Constantly types of stuff in. So keep that in mind. And CG is very heavy on the pre-production. You know, watch any production, especially like again, sports, award ceremony, news, how many times those full screen graphics aren't put together right then and there. They're probably put together an hour and a half, 2 hours before a broadcast. Okay? Any questions on the lower third graphics? Because they're on the lower third part of the screen. Very exciting. Okay. All right, what country can you grow bananas in that's really, I mean, really, I'm serious, all of you are. right? She doesn't have any anger issues, so that's what I like about New York. She is not a person. All right, let's take a look at a couple other terms we need to know. The rundown. Let's take a look at this rundown sheet, okay? An abbreviated version of the broadcast, okay? Rundown sheet. Yes, sir?
Did I do 10?
That's where I'm at.
We're out now, right now. You're following right along.
Oh, hey.
Hey. Also, too, a rundown sheet is an abbreviated version of the broadcast, and this is pretty much it. I mean, obviously, this script has a lot of pages to it, but this has really one. It's an abbreviated version, you know, very abbreviated. But I also want to go back to number 9 here, when we talk about lower third fonts for anchors and reporters. We talked about that for name IDs, for MOSs and sound bites of people. We talked about that for location fonts and courtesy fonts, but also to file tape / archive. Okay, some B-roll that you're going to take, you're going to keep for a while, and then just kind of wipe it out. There's going to be other times where you're going to keep that video around. Okay? A few weeks back, about 3 weeks ago, Martin Luther King died. Okay? You probably saw at least some sort of clips of Martin Luther King and his family, his speech. Okay? Somewhere on the bottom of the screen or the top or wherever, there's a file tape or archive tape. Meaning, and everyone knows this, this happened a long time ago. But it's archive tape. It's file tape. It's stuff that we just kept around because it's stuff you're going to use. And you're probably going to use it, you never know when you're going to use it. Here in this case, it's at least once a year, at least. Okay? 9/11 footage safety. Okay? So it's one of those deals where, you know, archive tape, file tape. If you're watching something on Animal Planet or the History Channel and it's an hour long documentary, 2 hours, whatever the case is, you don't really see courtesy fonts throughout the whole thing. They're grabbing footage from all sorts of sources. But that's when you get all your courtesy fonts in the end of the credits. They'll say, we got all this video from boom, 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 and they're going to list them all. Okay? So that's another thing we have to look at. All right, so rundown sheet. Now, again, keep in mind, the only people who have rundown sheets in the industry, okay, during the show, directors, producers, and talent. Directors, producers, and talent, okay? So that's why I don't want you fumbling through the script thinking, what's next? Just listen to your director, okay? Typically, these scripts are this big, this thick. In fact, the rundown sheets are typically 3, 4, 5 pages long, too. So you have enough just with the rundown sheet. Okay. So make sure, again, the only people for us having the scripts word for word during the show would be directors, and of course, not our talent, because we don't have the producer, it's already produced for us. Keep in mind also, too, with the rundown sheet, it's going to tell you a variety of different things. And if you get pretty good at this, and I wouldn't advise you to do this even this quarter, but some people feel really comfortable directing, you can actually direct the show right from the rundown. But you really have to know the script, and you really have to understand what the out cue is for each story. Okay? So keep that in mind as well, but I wouldn't recommend it. Even if you do, I do it on a non-grade show first. Rundown sheet, why is it used? Variety of reasons, man. Obviously, the number one thing is order of stories. It's going to tell you the order of stories. So everybody knows what tape to be brought up, what B-roll to be brought up, okay? What script to have ready, order of stories, okay? It's the rundown sheet telling you that. Order of stories, number one thing, okay? And again, that's the way we're going to start. Doesn't always mean we're going to end that way. Okay. We're here at the award-winning WNLD. We hope to start this way and end this way every single show. Okay. Also, it's going to tell you which talent will read each story. Okay. And here for us, it says talent 1 and 2, talent 1, talent 2, talent 1, 1 and 2, talent 3, talent 4. It's going to tell you which talent will read each story. So therefore, if I'm talent number 1 for the 6 o'clock newscast, I don't have to worry about, you know, what Jessica Rodriguez, my co-anchor, who makes more money than me, I don't care what the heck she's reading. All I got to do is care about my scripts, okay? But also, too, who does that help? It helps the camera operator, which talent's going to shoot. That helps the director, helps the switcher, helps the floor, it helps everybody. Okay? So which talent's going to read each story? Another thing it's going to tell is which camera the talent will be in. That obviously helps the switcher, helps the director, helps the engineer, helps the floor director, helps the talent, helps everybody. Which camera will that talent be in? So we know, hopefully at least a little bit in advance, when we're going to be taking it. Okay. So we have order stories, we have which talent's going to read each story, which camera the talent's on. Also, too, what type of shot? What type of shot we're going to do? Is it close-up shot? Extreme close-up shot? Is it an OTS shot? Medium shot? Wide shot? Two-box shot? Live shot? What kind of shot? So therefore, the camera operator knows how should I frame this up, okay, to check the shot. A lot of information is going down. She tells you just by looking at a few little boxes. How about this? Which story is a B-roll to them? This is one that helps out who's ever in charge of the B-roll. Okay? In our case here, still a lot of cases in small markets, my job as a tape operator is to say, okay, which story is a B-roll to them? Because what I need to do is I gotta make sure I have a list and I'm checking it off as soon as I'm getting all this video in. Some B-roll stories I'm getting in 2 hours before the newscast, and others I'm getting into my hands 10 seconds before it actually goes on air. You have to make sure you have everything in order, what you have, what you don't have. Okay. So that happens as well, too. All right, we also have which graphics are involved. So as far as the CG operator, you know, okay, what full screens do I need? How many full screens? What kind of full screens? Okay. What kind of OTS graphics do I need? Do I need to build them? Do I already have them in stock? So therefore, you have that all set. We don't have this column here, but usually there's a writer column, a WRT column, that basically says, who wrote this thing? Your initials are all over. Okay? That's one thing in this industry you can't really get away with. You know, life these days is basically, not my fault. Nope. No one wants a man up in super responsibility for stuff. Well, here, as a news director, as a general manager, typically news directors, producers, they're going to say, who wrote this story? Okay, they're going to look at it and say, oh, T.S. wrote it. Okay, we've got to talk to T.S. We've got some problems. Or, hey, T.S., nice, good work. Or maybe even an acre before they go on air, they're reading the story, they can't pronounce the word. You know, they're going over the scripts, like, who wrote this? Oh, that's S, Stevie Strass. Strass, how do you pronounce this? And he says, oh, yeah, we are. Got it. Shy of us. Going back to the days of yore. Who remembers? Freshman year. All right, also to time a newscast, which ours, you know, I guess ours does say it's six minutes. But time a newscast means how long is the newscast going to be? And what usually that does, it breaks down for the news producer, who's in charge of the news segment. It breaks it down for the weather producer, which is typically your meteorologist or weathercaster. And then, of course, the sports segment has its time as well, too. And that's for the sports producer. So everybody knows 3 hours, 4 hours, 6 to 10 hours before the newscast starts, how much time do I need to fill it? Okay? Based on the sales department selling air time and the traffic scheduling all the commercials, how much news do we need to fill? Okay? So it's going to tell you all that stuff. We'll go over just one more time here. Order of stories. Which camera will read each story? Which story is that B-roll to? Right? Which camera the talent's on? Type of shot on the anchor. Graphics, right? Writers, and the time of the newscast. That's kind of what you're looking at for one next. It tells you a lot of stuff. In fact, this one tells you most stuff you would see. There's some stuff you kind of held, like writers, you don't need. All right, so far so good?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got a few more here. Sock, slug. All right, 12. We'll go 12. Slug. What's a slug? That's writing a rundown sheet. Okay? A slug. What that is a short description of what the story's about. Basically, what you're doing, guys, is you're naming your story. You name the story. It's a short description of what this bad boy's about. Okay? And typically, it's no more than, you know, 1 to 3 words. That's usually what it is. The reason is because we got to make it short and sweet. So, for example, if you have a story that's, I don't know, a police chase that ended on Woodward Avenue at 4 p.m., that's the gist of the story. Don't call the story a police chase that ended on Woodward Avenue at 4 p.m. That's like a fit. Okay? You can't call it Woodward police chase. Yeah. So therefore, it's something that goes along with it. Now, once in a while in my writing class, I would honestly have this where someone would actually write a story, and you can tell they're like the musician type, artsy, left-brainer. They're naming it something that's not even close. And I'm a big fan of these. I'm a big fan of these songs where it's like, I never heard the title of the song. Cool. I like that. Yeah. But if you're going to write a story about a Woodward police chase, you're not going to call it brain damage, echoes, space monkey, something. Maybe you just, you don't do that. So I want to make it real tight. In fact, yeah, it was just about a couple years ago. I'm sitting there, and my wife's like, hey, Tom, you got to check out the new Dave Matthews CD. There's a song in there called Space Man. They don't say spaceman until like last 20 seconds. I already like the song. I'm gonna check it out. Cool, I like it. A little funky. That's cool. Alright, so that's cool. So, a little fun. Alright, any questions on the slug? Alright, slug. Alright, let's talk about this one. This is going to be on the midterm. SOT. Okay, I already know what it stands for. It stands for
sound on tape.
Sound on tape. That's not my question. But I need to know that. Sound on tape. Okay? So, yes, sound on tape. And quick definition of a sound on tape. And again, make sure you know this because this will be on the test. It's basically sound on tape. We can talk about sound on tape. It's video, okay, that has audio on it, up full, or to 100%. Okay, so it's video. In most cases, it is video that has audio on it at 100%. Okay, kind of like our music open and music close. What do we roll? We roll the video. And we bring the music up full. That's called the sound on tape. We take VCR, we dump the mics of the anchors, no microphones, but number 11 is up. Okay? And typically this is a newsmaker. It's a sound bite from somebody. It could be music up full. It could be a sound of a person. It could be an explosion. It could be a sound effect. Fireworks on the 4th of July. That's the sound on tape. Okay? So that's kind of what we're looking at here. Let me give you a variety of them. We'll give you a news one, there's a sports one, and then, of course, Entertainment Tonight, Hard Hitting. Entertainment Tonight, we're going to give you one as well. They like to get cute points. But let me show you one here. First of all, we're going to start with a voiceover from your news anchor. Voiceover starting.
December 1st, 2007, a strange situation down in Bowling Green.
So right now we have B-roll playing, and this is your typical voiceover from your news anchor.
Yeah. An unmarked blue vehicle came up to her claiming he was investigating a shooting.
Now he's going
to
shut up.
Police say there wasn't
and the police officer kicks
in.
Sound on tape right here.
It was not one of our off-duty police officers, but we're unsure if it was or was not an off-duty police officer.
There's your
another agency.
It's basically a video that is audio full. Okay. Now we have another one with sports, and sometimes this is really handy because if you got a really, really good play-by-play from your anchor, from the play-by-play person, sometimes you want to play that. Like for me personally, it always seemed like every time there was a major horse race, which was three of them per year, but it seemed like it's unbelievable how this is kind of rolled my way here. That almost every single time we seemed to have a horse race, I had a sore throat, and it was wonderful because it's scary. 85th running of the Kentucky Derby, folks, and here's your finish. Okay, they say, dump the mic sound of full. And now, stretch the guy. You got the play-by-play person. Let that thing roll for 40 seconds. It's wonderful. So, looks like Bernie decided to have the play-by-play person do this here. Okay? This is pretty good.
Third period wins with the puck.
Okay. Voiceover.
This is the voiceover
right here.
Hat trick, wins led 5-0. Believe it or not, the play of the game, okay. This one came in the third period.
Sound on tape.
Hotcha coming out!
Pure Hotcha.
Mike Roman Gabbert, all alone, Dominic Hotcha comes out and wipes him out. He got a tripping penalty.
Sound on tape.
Pure Hotcha.
We'll be incorporating those sound on tapes a little later in the court. Okay, now the last one here is Entertainment Tonight, you like to get hard hitting. Kiefer Sutherland, 24 star, okay. He had to go to prison for a year. Well, most celebrities do, right? At least one night, you gotta have some street cred. So that's what he did. And what the deal is here is that they decided to take a clip from the 24 show and use that as a sound bite to kind of pertain to the story, which again, they're getting goofy. That's what happens.
The
24
star.
Okay, so this
is the voiceover. 48 days here in the Glendale City Jail in the LA suburbs.
You're gonna get off easy.
All right. That's it. I mean, soundbite doesn't have to last very long. You're talking about a 2-second soundbite there? Up full. Audio, or video that is audio on it, up full. Okay? Any questions on the sound on tape? Okay? Which, again, voiceovers and soundbites, you see a lot. That's why the third type of story, which you don't need to know right now, is probably the most prevalent story in television. It's a bow sound. It's basically an anchor talking over video, which leads into a sound on tape. So you have a little mixed bag of both. That's what you typically see most of the time on TV. Okay. We'll get more and more of that later down the line. All right, any questions on that? The sound on tape. Last one we have to deal with here, guys. Last one. And this is the interruptible feedback, your IFB. Okay? Oh, yeah. Good stuff here. IFB stands for interruptible feedback. Now, I've heard some places call it, and I've just seen this in a textbook because it was brought to my attention. Never even heard it called this way. But it's true. Interruptible fold back. Most places you're going to have is interruptible feedback. I'll accept either one. Interruptible feedback, and sometimes you may hear it called, maybe west of the Mississippi or something, I don't know. Interruptible fold back. Okay? All right, so a quick definition of what this is. And you've seen this kind of mocked all the time on comedy shows. This just in. You know, they're pointing their ear. That's the earpiece that the talent wears. Okay? So I'll break this definition down for you a little bit so you can write this thing down. It's an earpiece the talent wears. So directors and producers can talk to them during the show. Okay. It's an earpiece the talent wears. So directors and producers can talk to them during the show. That's right. It's an earpiece the talent wears. So directors and producers can talk to them during the show. All right? Everyone got the definition. Okay, so here's an example of an IFB. Okay? And again, we don't have these here. Number one reason is, well, there's really three reasons I can think of. Number one is we're not a talent school. Okay? So if you're going to do anything on your talent, for the most part, it's usually radio. Okay? But keep in mind, people get out of here right away, but usually it takes a little while to get out of here. Okay? That's definitely said. Number two is a lot of times this stuff moves around. It isn't, I mean, this set typically stays where it is, but once in a while it does get moved around, so then we have to worry about this. And the third thing is, I don't know what the cost of this is, really. Maybe it does cost something. I have no idea. But the point of the matter is, this is really easy to get used to. It will freak you out the first couple times. Okay? Because what you're doing as an anchor or as a field reporter, you're basically sitting in a chair, plugging this in somewhere underneath the news desk where the IFB goes. Then you're taking this little clip. You say, okay, we're going to put this right through the collar. Okay, go about there. And then basically what we're going to do is put this right in here. Okay? So therefore, you can, you know, hear what's going on. Now, you're not going to hear the director say, roll recording, advise the speed, ready camera 2, take them. You're not going to hear any of that. Okay? You may not hear anything throughout the whole broadcast. All right? But the point of the matter is, you need this just in case your director needs to talk to you. And it's even happened to you guys in the first couple weeks. How many times could you, you know, it'd be nice. A lot of times you can tell the floor director, you know, well, sometimes it'd be nice just to, you know, exit out with the middle person. But sometimes you just need to, you know, hit the little IFB button in here and say, hey, listen, can you speed up this? Slow down. All right, something. All right, so that definitely helps. The good thing is you can hear everything you're saying. So just like that guy in the Breaking News Miami on Monday, last Monday we watched it, the crowd going crazy behind him, right? No big deal. Better for my story because I can hear everything I'm saying. It's not like, you know, they're drawing my voice. I can hear everything I'm saying through my IFB. In fact, when I'm going back to Mark in the studio and he's got questions for me, no big deal. We can cue it. I'm hearing everything he's saying right through my IFB. So it's definitely a huge help. But where this comes in a real, real big benefit for the out-of-air anchors is basically, let's just say I'm kind of talking over piston habits, voicing over, right? And my thinking is the plan was for me to come back out on camera. So say, Pistons a winner, they win three in a row, 102 to 100 over Sacramento, and we're over here. Okay, so that's the problem, because they made a quick switch. But if I'm voicing over highlights, I'm thinking, okay, coming out of one, but they tell me, hey, Tom, coming out of three. All right, Pistons a winner by a final score of 102 to 100. Now on to baseball news, Tigers, blah, 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 so that's helping me out. Okay? Or a situation where I'm thinking, okay, after the Pistons game, we're going to go to, I don't know, Laker highlights. Okay? And let's just say, for example, they're trying to tell me, hey, we're not going, we're coming back to you. Here's what's going to happen. Pistons the winner, 102-100 now. One more here we're going to check out, and there's the top of my head. We're not going to see the L.A. Lakers, apparently, but they did win. 105-100 over Toronto. We're just coming back to you. You know, so at least they can tell me, hey, we're no highlights, no time coming out to you, so at least I can just kind of go with the flow. Okay? Now, if you're out in location, on location, and you got your IFB in, and you got your Arsenio Hall finger here, remember? So you understand one person. All right, so we have Arsenio Hall here, and we got a live shot that we're doing. And of course, you as a camera operator may notice, hey, listen, you know, this thing's kind of hanging in your ear. We want to try to avoid it. So if you're a camera operator, you may say, hey, tell them, listen, you want to switch to your other ear so no one sees it? All right, I can do that. Or maybe I just hear better out of this ear. Say, okay, I interview, we'll move you over this way. still keeping it this year, better out of this year, whatever the reason. Okay. So he was camera operator for those that moved as well too. Okay. So that's where it comes in very, very handy. You do have to check one thing though. Always have your own. Okay? Always have your own. This happens more than you think. This is before this guy goes on.
Right, great. Or if you don't mind, you know, sucking up my earwax, you can just see what I did. Yeah, I got some cheese on there, for sure.
Absolutely, that's cool. A little earwax there. Q-tips, they call them. You can use those. Absolutely. So, yeah, you want to definitely use your own. That's a big thing, handy thing. But keep in mind, you don't hear everything unless the director producer wants you to hear something. So let's take... You know, Dan Dickerson and the boys are doing Tiger games, and next thing you know, you have a situation where, not so much in radio, but in TV uses a lot, we get a final score. The Tigers are in the middle of their game, and we hear that the Twins lost. Allen for first. Right, there's a swing and a miss. Cabrera is down on strike. Next thing you know, hey, Dan, Twins lost 3-2 for the final score. And Tigers go in order, whatever the case is, come on back. And by the way, we did get word the Twins did lose 3-2, so Cleveland hung on to beat them, and Tigers can gain some ground again. So that's where you get, or the seventh inning is brought to you by, and there's the director in the truck saying, oh, where's the sponsor? Oh, okay. Seventh inning, don't forget the sponsor, Dick Scott Dodge. Okay. There's a swing and a miss, and seventh inning brought to you by Dick Scott Dodge. So you got a lot of that stuff kind of going on with your IMG. Okay? One quick little note I'll tell you here, because this is something where, and again, this kind of goes in, it's kind of layered here as far as some stuff I'll tell you. Just a personal experience, okay? We were talking about don't burn any bridges, okay? All right, so this kind of has an IFB twist to it. But starting off in Lima, you know, you're 22, 23, a little cocky, all right? Not really that. It's just more or less, okay, you think you know more than what you do, okay? You know, so, you know, right out of school, things happen kind of quick. You got to the anchoring thing rather quickly. I thought I'd be able to do it, but, you know, here I am, and I'm anchoring. And of course, here's the deal, okay? I'm in the edit bay, and I know, basically, in my time of production, I know I should be, you know, editing a couple things. I got 15 tapes in my sports bags. So, I got, like, 5 baseball games, a variety of football games. I got everything on, okay? So, I know that after 3 or 4 edited down, I should grab the tapes, bring them down to the tape operator and say, here's 3 or 4 of them, so you got something. So you can start putting those in order, go back on the other side of the building and start editing some more, get 3 or 4 more and get it to play. Okay? So my thing was, okay, I edited 3 or 4, and then, okay, one more, let me edit these golf highlights and I'll get them down. Okay, boom, 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 you're editing, get it done. I said, okay, how about one more? Let's get one more, get 6 in there. Okay. And next thing you know, you say, okay, I'll just get 10. Alright, just get 10 of them. I know I shouldn't be screwing about this, okay? George Dunster walked by, who's the news director. Kind of an old newsprint kind of guy. He was my news writer, first one. He sees the stack of tapes. Of course, if I stacked them a little differently, maybe it wouldn't look so mad, but I stacked them pretty high. And he's like, what the? Are you doofy? Get the mother out. Okay? So now I'm a little ticked off, you know what I mean? Because, first of all, I know he's right. That's the problem. He is 100% right. I should have brought these tapes down as a little more. I was mad because I got caught. Yeah. So next thing you know, I bring the tapes down, and of course I told you last week sometimes you can supersize yourself being in the newsroom, Burger King, or, you know, like you were at KFC from the breaking in. So you're not in the best of shape either. Going from the tape operator to the other side of the building and running back to your editor in the newsroom, and then going back to the news desk. I'm out of breath, and I'm just fired up. Of course, I'm supposed to go on air and be happy because the Cincinnati Bengals, who were the home team at the time, they won their first game of the year. And I'm like, and Dancy Moore, who's the anchor, said, what's wrong? She said, George. I mean, she goes, just catch your breath, dude. We got 20 seconds left before you come on air. I was like, all right, so I got the IFB in, and I'm still fuming. I want to rip this guy's head off. All right? County and temper's kind of flaring up. So it's like, okay, we'll start things off in the NFL, Cincinnati Bengals, week 6, finally get the first win. I'm like, I'm still thinking about like after 5 minutes. And finally, Tony Garlock, who's the director at the time, hits this little IFB button. And he does not have to do this. Okay? He does not have to do this. But he hits this little IFB button. He goes, hey, this weekend, you're not smiling at me. while I'm on the air. Because you know what I'm doing? No. And then he starts going into this. And, of course, what you started doing out here. So the Cincinnati Bengals, week six, finally get the first victory against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's head to the highlights, and it's like, boom, get to the highlights, and I'm like, thumbs up, thanks. It's almost like, you know, let's just get through the 7-8 minutes of sports, whatever. So he made me completely forget about that. And of course, again, as I said in the first quarter, after you direct, produce, or on-air talent, that's the pinnacle of your day. That's the high end. Okay? You can't go to bed right afterwards. And Tony, who was in the business for about 15 years, I was in the business for about 15 days. Okay? So after the 11 o'clock newscast, we get our morning sports done. We're just sitting, it's summer night, we're just sitting out in the parking lot until 1 o'clock, just BSing about the industry. And I'll never forget, he says, you know what? Here's the deal. He goes, you know Jordan's right. I just said, I don't know. But here's the deal. He's on you for everything. I said, oh, I want to kill him. He goes, but he's on you for everything. Because you know how many people that come into this building, okay, from whatever school, and they get an early start, and he gives them a little criticism, and the tail goes right between the legs, and you never hear from them again. You add to the total of those, you never hear from them again. He goes, I guarantee you what's going to happen here in about 3 weeks. We have Tanya, I can't remember her name. She's from Hawaii. University of Hawaii, because we just hired this girl. She's going to be here in 3 weeks. And I guarantee he's going to be all over. You can be a shoulder to cry. So, but the point of the matter is, I mean, he was not on me a whole lot after that. But basically what he's doing is he's testing. It was one of those guys where you put in a news story, you put it in the slot, you come walking over there, and if you do one of these, and you're sitting at your cubicle looking at him, he's going to be like, breathing heavy, and okay. Then he never said anything. But if you just kind of glanced at it real quick and then put it in the slot with no emotion, you knew you were in trouble. You kind of figured these things out after a while. The guy was a little nuts on. However, I tell you what, every single job I've been at ever since, I have made sure you're organized, the T's are crossed, the I's are dotted to a T. Okay? So therefore, when you go to jobs, and I'm not saying I'm the perfect employee, because absolutely not, but what I'm saying is that you want your employer to not ever have to worry about you. If you can get your employer to say, man, there's nothing really to worry about. I mean, there's issues kind of flaring up here, and I don't have to worry about you, because I know you're taking care of something. Because of George Nelson. Right? And here's the guy that, my last day at the news station, said bye to everyone, next thing you know, say, go to, some folks' house, we're just kind of doing what people do when they celebrate. Forgot a couple things in the office, so I went to grab a couple belongings. I see George Dunster's at 2:30 in the morning. He's in his office, you didn't even see him there. Like three times I'm about to walk out the door. Mom and Dad, let's talk with you guys. Don't burn any bridges. He's the one who hired me. He's the one who gave it the start. So I went in there, George, oh, no problem! Nice. So, what happened 6 months later, 8 months later, even though the guy was still working there and shortly after retired, you get a call from God knows who, person you don't even know. Hey, by the way, I was wondering if you're interested in doing some voiceover work for a company. You were recommended by George Dunster. Like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've never been involved in any voiceover work before that. Because of George. You didn't burn bridges, you wanted to kill the guy. There's times where you got in a little heated arguments. But nonetheless, it's just like, just take it with a grain of salt. You're in Lima for one reason, to get experience and get out. Okay? And that's what you did. That's what it was. So, again, the guy was really, really, really on me. But the point of the matter is you didn't burn bridges and hear that across the board in this industry. So, obviously not just driving, but pretty much anywhere you go. Keep that in mind as we go. Any questions on today's lecture? Okay, any questions on the rundown, or on the study sheet as well, too? Okay? All right, very, very nice. Very, very nice. Okay, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to grab some white balancers while the rest of you guys go on break. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get, I think I'll time for both. Prize people, I'm going to get you now, maybe 2 people.